all the planets are having a similar magnetic change to what the Earth is having. And Pluto lost a fifth of its atmosphere in just 1 year. Same thing that happened to Mars over eons, allegedly, when it lost its magnetic field. There's a well-understood storm pattern on Neptune, kind of like how hurricanes form off the coast of Africa, and then they shoot westward across the Atlantic towards America. Well, on Neptune, it just went the other way. It just reversed, which is not supposed to be possible unless something really drastic did a 180 on that planet. Uranus is having record aurora, and without record solar activity, what's causing record aurora at Uranus? It's losing its magnetic protection. Similar things are happening at Saturn. We don't have to infer them at Jupiter. We can actually measure it at Jupiter. We do this by measuring the radio signals that come from the electrons trapped in Jupiter's magnetic field. And the radio signals that they put out just changed in the last decade to 12 years. So either the nature of an electron changed at Jupiter, not likely, or Jupiter's magnetic field is changing too. Mars has a ton of changes. They think its mantle is now awake and alive and active, where for decades they thought it was dead and, you know, a geologically inactive planet. And right now, the Mars scientists are thinking, all right, we have to figure out how we got this wrong for all these years. All the data said they didn't get it wrong. Mars woke up as a planet. Venus's fastest winds are getting faster. The sun's magnetic fields are changing, and the chemistry of the sun's atmosphere is changing. Everything in the solar system is changing. The likely answer is that we are going through a galactic magnetic reversal. My name is Ben Davidson. I am the lead astrophysicist and space weather forecaster for Space Weather News and the Mobile Observatory Project. Two main areas of study are solar activity and how it affects the Earth, specifically from an electromagnetic perspective, what causes the solar flares, what they do to Earth electromagnetically. And in that same vein, the other thing I focus on is Earth's electromagnetic condition. Most notably right now, the magnetic poles are shifting. Magnetic field is weakening. It's called a magnetic pole shift or geomagnetic excursion. And so the sun and the Earth from a magnetic perspective is what I do. I was interested in physics and weather. I wanted to be the weatherman on TV. That went okay when I was at university, but I also really liked business classes and other things like that. And so I took all of those science courses focused on meteorology. But when I graduated, I decided I needed to understand more about business and how the world works. I actually ended up going to law school, which was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. It's the last place in the world that teaches you how to think, as opposed to just regurgitating information, you know, spitting the same facts back at a professor or something. But I figured out in law school I didn't want to be a lawyer, and so I went into research, which is basically the only other thing lawyers are good at doing, and got work as the lead due diligence analyst, which basically is a fancy way of saying researcher, for a venture capital firm, what they called portfolio diversification. I saw as a lack of focus that caused me to master a new concept every couple of weeks, and it got to the point where I decided, hey, I love what I'm doing. I'm pretty good at this research, putting things together from different scientific fields. But I want to do research on things that interest me. And what interested me was the weather, earthquakes, and I was starting to get interested in solar flares. They had just launched a brand new satellite that looks at the sun in ultraviolet light. And they began showing us things that we can't see with our eyes. And it was really fascinating. And after reporting on the sun, weather and earthquakes for just a little bit of time, it became readily apparent to me that people who watch the sun don't watch weather. People who watch earthquakes don't watch the sun. And had several peer-reviewed papers. I have a textbook that is used in a number of universities. And it basically just took off from there, finding stuff that was basically hiding in plain sight due to the fact that the world has become ultra specialized. You know, you pick your scientific field and then you focus and you're in a box. Most of the professors I talk to, they don't even know what the guy down the hallway in the same department is working on. And so by taking that step back and looking at these multiple different fields of science, it was really kind of easy to see a lot of these connections. And that's where all of this has come from. I guess the last part of the story is the fact that there seemed to be something that couldn't be accounted for with just the sun, just weather, and just geologic information. And that was that Earth's magnetic field was changing. At this point, many people have heard about the fact that the magnetic poles are shifting, but they don't necessarily know much about it. And that was the fourth thing that we've added into it. And I think that's about as quick as I can do that background of my life there.
So what have you seen in terms of changes, transitions, and where it may be leading? And is there any kind of relevance to the things that we're seeing right now? I mean, it's not a normal event to have an aurora
Absolutely.
borealis in the UK.
So I wouldn't say that's ultra rare, but the aurora we're seeing all the way down to Puerto Rico, which is in the
Yeah.
Caribbean. And that's not supposed to happen from something like this. It's only happened twice before in recorded history, in 1859 and in 1921. And what happened this weekend, it was significant. It certainly wasn't nothing. The sun gave us a pretty good little jab. But it wasn't the kind of thing that should have produced the northern lights going all the way down to, I don't know how far down in Europe it was seen, but they saw it in Florida, Texas, Arizona, and the Caribbean. And for it to be seen there, based on what the sun hit us with, doesn't make a lot of sense unless you remember the thing that protects the Earth from the sun, the magnetic field, is weakening, allowing the sun to have an easier and easier shot at our planet. And this wasn't the first time it's happened. We actually broke the record for number of times that low latitude aurora were seen just last year. The level of solar storm conditions, which they have several different instruments to measure that, it's way off the charts compared to what the sun is doing. And so it's already the kind of thing where it should make you perk up a little bit when you hear we're having record effects from the sun. But when you realize the sun isn't doing record activity, the sun's just kind of giving us a little thing here and there. That's when you realize, okay, wait a minute, Earth is becoming more vulnerable. And that is the key thing that is worrisome about this. And it's worrisome for our technology because this can take out power grids and basically anything electronic. It's worrisome for the climate because as that magnetic field weakens, one of the things that this solar energy does when it hits the Earth, okay, yes, it's beautiful to look at the northern lights, but what people don't know and can't see is it's destroying the ozone. Normally, throughout history, there is a nice balance between solar particle energy, which would just be protons and electrons, destroying ozone, and ultraviolet light from the sun creating ozone in a photoionization process. Normally, there's a very good balance between the two. But what we're having right now with the magnetic field changing, it is actually causing significant decreases in the ozone as well. It's not just about the pollution that people talk about on the news. And so, from a technological and from a climatological standpoint, this is pretty concerning. And then, when you check some of the scientific journals, all of the researchers who are researching what happened in the past when similar magnetic pole shifts occurred, they find time after time, this is when you get a surge in extinctions of species. And, it happens on a pretty regular cycle throughout history. It just so happens we are exactly due for it to happen again. And it is exactly what we're seeing on Earth right now with magnetic poles moving and the magnetic field weakening, allowing that solar energy to more easily come into the Earth.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? Because a lot of people talk about like the kind of cyclical nature of things like this, and that we're due an event in our lifetimes, perhaps. Would you place it in our lifetimes? Because some people have like a ballpark of perhaps it'll be in a few hundred years, a few thousand years. It's hard to know who is
Sure.
actually right on the numbers with these kind of predictions.
It would be really nice if that were the case, huh? But no, it's looking like sometime in the 2030s or 2040s, this thing is going to hit its peak. And we had been doing the math on it and suggesting that for the past several years. And we got a, I don't know if it's a good or a terrible confirmation. It's good that our math was right. It's a terrible prognosis for what it means. One of the best earth scientists in the world, it's a Russian guy named Sergei Semenenko. And he published a study just a couple of weeks ago describing a severe, one of the strongest ever seen magnetic anomalies on our planet in March of 2023. Now, we have spent the last year marveling at why is this solar storm so strong, given the fact that the sun just gave us a little love tap? Why are we seeing so many low latitude auroras and breaking the auroral records without major solar activity? And the answer is because this thing is accelerating and accelerating downward at a very, very fast pace. And what happened last year was a confirmation that this thing is speeding up. It's been speeding up, but this latest acceleration was the biggest yet, to the point where I still have to, from a mathematical standpoint, say 2030s or 2040s. But when I'm looking at the data and I'm seeing how fast things are transpiring, it really does look like it might be the 2030s. And we'd have to kind of put that little safer idea, as we have another decade to wait, almost off the table. I can't, from a mathematical standpoint, I can't say that, but it's looking like this is going to be happening in the 2030s, probably the late 2030s, but
So
that's certainly in our lifetimes.
what are the main, if you can kind of like distill it into layman terms, what are the main data points that have caused that kind of rapid decrease in the timeline and the predictions?
Certainly. So here are the two main data points. We get some kind of magnetic pole shift or excursion about every 6,000 years, but every 12,000 years, there's a really big one. The last mini one was 6,000 years ago. The last big one was 12,000 years ago. So it kind of lines up for us being on target right now. Earth's magnetic field was approximately at full strength, somewhere between 97% and 100% full strength for the majority of the last 2,000 years. In the middle of the 1800s, it began to weaken. So let's say approximately 1850. By the year 2000, we had lost 10% of our magnetic protection as a planet. They upgraded that number to 15% in 2010. So that's 150 years to lose 10%. And then we lose another 5 in just 10 years, meaning that in 20 years, we would lose another 10%. And we've already passed 2020, which would be the next 10-year mark. So what initially took 150 years just took 20 years. And in 2020, there was an acceleration. And then, of course, there was the one last year in March of 2023 that Dr. Simonenko told us about. So we are probably at the point now where we are losing about 1 percentage point every year. And we are probably down around 30%. Or basic, another way of saying that is we're only at 70% of full strength right now. Now, according to the science of how this progresses, it's supposed to hit a peak acceleration of about 100 times faster than it is right now, which means at some point something magnetically is going to click and we're only going to have a couple of months to maybe a year left. Hopefully that doesn't happen relatively soon. Hopefully that at least waits until the 2030s. No way to really tell. But when this happens, the data suggests that the radiation bombardment from the sun, cosmic rays, gamma rays from supernova, all that scary stuff in space, increases by anywhere from 60 in those minor 6,000 year events, up to 200% in those major events. Now, a 200% increase in radiation is going to really do a number on our ozone. It's basically going to make our climate almost unrecognizably extreme. And it's not really that the global warming we hear about on the news, it's the extreme of everything. When it's hot, it's going to be hotter. When it's cold, it's going to be colder. When it rains, it will rain more. When there's a drought, it'll be a really bad drought. Things like that. The winds, the storms, the hurricanes, all of these things get amplified to a more extreme level. And that is on top of the fact that we're bombarded with more radiation, which are the two things combined that most of those scientists I mentioned who study this and say, hey, these events are what really take out species. And for the species that survive, their numbers go down anywhere from 30 to 80%. The combination of our bodies being hit with more radiation and the fact that our environment changes very rapidly, it's not something most species are built to deal with. And unfortunately, that's what's on our bingo card for the next two decades.
In that case, I would like to kind of ask if you know how much of a controversy this is within the consensus in the kind of traditional scientific avenues within this particular area, because obviously there's probably going to be some level of a difference of opinion. So how many people are kind of on board for this type of radical timeline, and how many are saying, well, actually, we see it further down the line?
So a lot of that depends on who gets their funding from where. People who get their funding from a certain place say, oh, don't worry about the magnetic field. Don't worry about this. What you need to worry about is pollution. That is flatly wrong. Although I do happen to agree with a lot of the things they want to happen, like a reduction in harmful pollution. I mean, we've got one atmosphere to breathe. We've got one water system to drink from. We've got one soil system to grow crops. I'm not for poisoning the planet. It's just that that has very little to do with what our environment is going to look like going into the future by comparison to what the sun is going to do to this planet when we lose a great deal of our magnetic field. I can also tell you that there are a lot more people who are on board with this than are willing to say so. Now, from people who study the atmosphere, weather, climate, those numbers are relatively low. From geologists and paleomagnetic science, the people who study extinctions over time, most of them are on board with this idea. And I can't even tell you the number of professors or people from the ESA in Europe or NASA here in the United States who I've interacted with who absolutely know that this is about to happen, but they don't feel like they can say anything. Either they've got this idea in their head that it'll get them basically blackballed from their field of science. They could lose grants. They could lose their job. Good example of that is one of the papers I published was with a guy from NASA. A couple months later, he lost his job at NASA. He lost his visa and he was sent back to Thailand. And well, there was an official reason given that they just declined to renew his contract. He told me that, you know, his superiors told him, you can't be saying the kinds of stuff you're saying. This is not the narrative. And so there is a considerable amount of pushback. But of course, the recognition of that takes the real scientists among the tens of thousands that are out there, who some of them are really more businessmen than scientists. It takes the real scientists and makes them pay attention. And they've started to ask questions and come to a lot of these same conclusions as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing with, like, you know, the scientific architecture, isn't it? You've got like the alternative thinkers, the more dogmatic corridor where they're just very in line with the status quo. But then you've also got, which is, to be honest, if people are discussing this in open source, in public forum, and it's actually legitimate and accurate concerns, you've got to imagine that some of these alphabet agencies that have a lot of sensors and have a lot of technology, NASA included, will have their experts absolutely sweating bullets over this quietly. So, I mean, what do you think about preparation in terms of government? Are they, secretly trying to prepare? Are there arcs for the people who are being chosen correctly? And are we just going to be left to, fend for ourselves?
I don't know about arcs or anything like that. The things I do know about are, for example, the well-known seed vault in Svalbard. It's just one of dozens. They are really preparing for a climatological disaster. They are digging underground and building bunkers at a rate that is utterly preposterous. Here in the United States, just the ones that are acknowledged to exist publicly, forget all the secret ones. The ones that are acknowledged publicly can house 25 to 50 million people. Who knows what else they have? And on the other side, you have to look at the kind of stuff they are doing. They seem to be in a rush and they seem to no longer care what the people think. For a long time, they were doing some shady stuff, but they were doing it very quietly, very incrementally, sort of chipping away at things. They're acting recklessly because they know there will be no reckoning. Time is too short. They are throwing everything at us to keep us distracted while at the same time taking away freedom, grabbing control, grabbing resources, putting themselves in the best position. Spending our tax money like there's no tomorrow because they know on a given timeline there isn't one. And it's really unfortunate. It does appear that there are, I don't know if you know these terms, that there are both white hat and black hat operators on this level. There are some people who just, they're like, screw the world. We need to just keep them distracted and survive ourselves. And then there are other, some agencies and some individuals that do appear to be trying to leak out information or create plans that could be helpful in a scenario like this. I would say it is quite obvious that not only governments understand this, but what people refer to as the elites, the powerful non-governmental individuals. I mean, a lot of people know that they're building bunkers at incredible rates. Some of them aren't doing so very intelligently, like Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook decided he was going to build his in Hawaii. That's a
Yeah, I
bad
saw
idea.
that.
What a terrible plan. On the other hand, somebody like Jeff Bezos, holy cow, what an amazing plan. Somebody gave him the right information. He's building on the border of New Mexico and Texas, and he's hollowing out a mountain across the street from his Blue Origin launch facility. And he's got literally a great location, a remote location, all the supplies he could need. The Jeff Bezos disaster plan is top notch. I don't necessarily like the guy. I can't say he's the evilest person on the world in the world either, but I don't necessarily like him. But I have to give credit where it's due. His disaster plan is amazing.
I know there's a lot of
Absolutely.
there was a lot of elites buying up land in New Zealand as well. I'm pretty sure New Zealand was a
Yeah, I
hot
don't
one.
think that's a great idea. I don't have a very good prognosis for New Zealand. Of course, maybe they know something I don't know. But during these events, there are certain volcanoes that seem to love to be a part of this cycle story. The scariest one of all is Campi Flegrei, Italy. Boy, that one terrifies me. But I would say second on the list is Taupo in New Zealand. It goes off every single time. What are these people planning on doing there? Taupo is a monster of a volcano. It'll literally cover all of New Zealand in 30, 40 feet of ash. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They are building bunkers, whether it's the elites or the governments. There is every indication that they know, they've known for a while, and they are preparing as fast as they possibly can. And they don't even care that the world is waking up to the theater that's been put in front of us for so long. They don't even care anymore.
Do you think that this has happened? I mean, obviously, the cyclical process of this would suggest it. You think about all of the different kind of subterranean ancient sites that we find across the world where they were clearly building massive sites underground, kind of would indicate that they were also trying to escape some form of a solar event. So, do you think that maybe ancient societies, perhaps we've been reset, perhaps civilization's been to similar points of advancement, and we've experienced these events?
A great example would be what we call Atlantis. Now, I don't have any idea if that's what they called themselves. They may have had a different name for themselves. There are less well-known ones called Mu and Lemuria. And who knows if those were their real names. But something like that absolutely existed. And it's arguable whether or not they may have actually been further ahead than we are right now. Some of the evidence of their ancient structures from India, for example, we can't recreate now. This is bad enough that it can reset a very advanced civilization, especially if they don't know it's coming. But if certain groups of people know it's coming, they have enough time. They can get resources, they can build underground shelters, they can do all sorts of things like that. And the great thing about an underground shelter, provided you're not too close to an ocean and a tsunami wipes you out, is being underground protects you from radiation and from weather extremes. And it's literally this earth we're sitting on is the perfect protection if you can just get under the surface. And they certainly know that.
So, I mean, if it's something that's unavoidable, and if it is coming in a timeline that's quite disturbingly short, you're talking about the mid 2030s to late 2030s, what kind of signs are you looking for other than the ones that are already popping up over the next few years? What are you going to be looking for to kind of confirm that this is actually getting closer and closer?
Right. So, I'm certainly going to be looking for a continued progression of the solar activity versus Earth effects that we've seen. It now that we got that paper from Dr. Simonenko a couple weeks ago, and we know for a fact that our hypothesis was right, that things are speeding up, and that's why we're seeing the record aurora and the higher than expected solar storm effects, given what the sun actually threw at us. And so I would definitely expect more of these auroral outbreaks, northern lights and the southern lights. I would start to expect them to have more effect soon, especially if the sun throws something even bigger at us. That would be major problems with airlines, major problems with GPS, major problems with power grids and things like that. A continued extremification of the weather. So if I can take a step back for a second, one of the greatest tricks that the climatologists have pulled is that they are somehow managing to keep focus only on the record heat. We're getting record colds set just as often. We're getting record snowstorms. We're getting record hailstorms. We're getting all of these things. It's in every direction. It's not just heat. And you have to not be watching mainstream news headlines to see this. You have to actually be going and taking a look at data and reading local headlines and other things like that. And I would expect that to continue as well. Unfortunately, one of the scariest aspects of this is the clown world that we're in right now, because whether you put your hand on the Bible above all, or you take a strictly scientific look at things, we are watching a lot of revelation play out right now. And this clown world that we're in, it is related to what's going on in two different ways. One, it is being pushed by those elites. They are basically attacking Christianity. They're promoting Satanism anywhere they can. And they're basically promoting degeneracy, trying to tear down masculinity, trying to tear down femininity in favor of toxic feminism. But it's beyond just what they are doing. Because this radiation that's coming in, which I mentioned before as being one of the main impacts on us, it has two main impacts on the human brain. First, it decreases the activity of the mitochondria in our hippocampus. What does that mean? It basically means that the things that happen in the front part of our brain that allow us to work cognitively go down. A simple way of saying it is we get dumber. Two, there's a part deep inside of our head called the locus coeruleus, and it's getting excited by this extra energy. And it is the part of our brain that reacts in terror, in fear, in panic, and anxiety, and causes emotional instability. So if it seems as though our planet is getting dumber while becoming more emotionally unstable and reacting out of fear and panic and things like that, yes, you're correct. And it's because of two things. This is exactly what we would expect scientifically, given what's happening to our planet. And it is, of course, it's not helping the situation that the people in charge of government, policy, media are all pushing people off of that cliff as well. And so the things I'm looking for the most, outside of any actual direct data we get on the magnetic field or things like that, would be I'm watching how the sun affects the earth, the auroras, the storm levels. I'm watching the weather to see if these extremes in every direction, not just global warming, continue to happen and get worse. And I'm watching the clown world progress as well. These three things are what I'm keeping an eye on. And the worse these three things get, the more we can sort of look and say, okay, things are getting worse. Things are getting worse. That finish line is getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It is somewhat analogous to the Atlantis story when you think about how Plato described the fall of Atlantis and that they were overcome with gluttony and greed and that it was descending into this kind of, farce of a society. And so, that kind of draws correlations. And I can see why that would incite within those that are of a more theological bent, the kind of apocalyptic prophecies of, well, we've come to this point, Sodom and Gomorrah, like, it's time for a reset. It is a bit of a dark and depressing conversation to have because if this is all accurate, it kind of feels like there's just no real road way out of this. So, I mean, is there any kind of optimism you can inject into my brain for a moment?
Sure. How does that book end? Who wins in the end? It's like a separation of the wheat from the chaff. Because whether it's those who are the most determined or are of the strongest will or have the most faith, they're not succumbing to this as much. And yes, these are the individuals that are being demonized in the media, the groups of people that are being demonized in the media. Doesn't seem to stop them, doesn't seem to dissuade them. They just keep their heads down and keep plugging forward. And I don't know if necessarily the best way to put it is this is a cleansing and rebirth of the planet. But that's not the worst way to describe it either. I know this. Modern humans have gone through literally dozens of these cycles, and we are still here. Everybody walking the planet today is the descendant of a survivor, of a survivor, of a survivor. It's in our DNA. We've got this, provided we cannot succumb to, ignorance, distraction. Some would say we, as long as we don't succumb to losing ourself, our faith, and things like that. It's amazing how much this actually can have an impact on the human body. It's that same idea of mind over matter. It's almost like a cousin of the placebo effect. This is one of my favorite things in the world. Everybody's heard of the placebo effect. Oh, it's just this mundane thing.
Very,
No.
very overlooked, isn't it?
No. It's magic. It's wizardry. It's sorcery. What do you mean you think something that's not factually correct? And within your body, the biology, chemistry, and physics just go out the window and your mind manifests that reality within you. What do you mean? That's sorcery. But it's good sorcery if you use it that way. And so I think that information, preparation, and positive mindset really are the three keys to this, because you have to know what's going to happen, which is what we've been describing. You have to do something about it. You know, have some extra food. Know if things are getting chaotic around you, where would you go? You know, have extra supplies. Have a plan. Know of a place where you could go underground or build yourself a root cellar, if not a huge bunker. You know, for those who can't do it, build yourself a root cellar. And then stay positive. Remember who wins at the end of this story. And don't get off track and lose yourself with this. So I would say information, preparation, and positive mindset are humans are going to make it again. And there's a lot we can do to make sure that we are some of that small percentage that does make it into the next stage of Earth.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of talk from so many different avenues of almost the same kind of intuition being echoed through different types of lenses of observation. So you could look at something like, you know, the New Age spiritual movement of the Age of Aquarius is upon us. Or you could look at the tech bros and the singularity is coming. It's the eschaton, it's the transcendental object. Then you've got it all. It's interesting because it all seems to lead, regardless of whether there's science involved like there is with this or with AI, a lot of people kind of who are leading the conversation or discussing it at length and are really thinking about it, it leads towards something of a almost spiritual awakening of some form of a, it's time for you to wake up to a larger, expansive, more open state of human consciousness, which is just interesting. I mean, don't you find it funny that all of these different avenues kind of all kind of hint towards a transformation, even if it's an apocalypse within the religious Absolutely. Belief, it's all about a transformation, a phoenix rising from the ashes, so to speak. So even through your particular avenue, you've discovered that there's kind of almost like an awakening and a process of inspiration.
Unquestionably, unquestionably. I couldn't agree with you anymore. In fact, it's the inspiration for one of my tattoos, which is a phoenix on my arm.
Nice.
I got it when I came to literally the same conclusion that you just did. And I'm a scientist and a mathematician. You know, that kind of thing is not usually in my wheelhouse. But as somebody whose life is dedicated to connecting facts and seeing when too many things are lining up for it to be a random coincidence. You know, when I grew up, you had to choose faith or science. No, they're exactly the same thing. And it's amazing whether you're looking at the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, other Hindu texts, Zoroastrian, doesn't matter what you're looking at. It's unbelievable how much their story of what's going to happen to the earth, how the sun is involved, and what's going to be happening to the people in the end times is literally what's unfolding before us right now. There's no way it can be a coincidence. There's just no way it can be a coincidence. The biggest question is, how did they know all those years ago? And then you have to come to the conclusion, they lived through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they survived. And those are the lessons they needed to tell us about. They did their best. Now, granted, the stuff with the sun and geophysics must have seemed like magic to them. So they did their best. But boy, did they nail what's going to happen to people and civilization as a whole. We're beyond the possibility mathematically that this is just all coincidence. This is the time for an awakening. Couldn't agree with you anymore.
I also wonder about the cyclical nature of this. If there has been this rise and fall of civilizations, are we Are we meant to be escaping the planet's gravity at some point, propagating out into the solar system, going out further, and you have X amount of time to get your shit together on your planet, cannibalize a little bit of it to get your resources, and leave before this reset happens? So do you think that we're kind of following the natural order and it's just a reset and we'll come back, or are we actually failing in our job to maybe get off and spread nature further through the cosmos?
So that's an interesting question. My two favorite hypotheses involving extraterrestrials and what we're doing here on this planet are that this planet is a species nursery or it's a species testing ground. One of those two things, those are by far my two most likely theories based on not only everything scientific I know, but based on what I hear from the UFO community and other things like that. And it's almost like I don't know if we are supposed to be trapped here or we're supposed to learn from our mistakes and fail several times and then eventually get off and become part of, a larger universal society or something like that. Those are open for speculation, and boy, it's fun to do so. But it just the most I can say right now is that, yeah, it looks like we only have a certain amount of time to get certain things done before we are knocked back to the starting line and we have to do it all over again.
So what do you think needs to be done? And can it be done?
So we are way too close to this event to, become extraplanetary this round. A lot of it depends on how much information can be saved, how many people can be saved, how many materials, processes, what sort of knowledge can be saved. And so I guess that would really be two things. How many people can be left to come together, and what tools do they have to rebuild the world? What knowledge do they have to rebuild the world? These are critically important for the next age of Earth. And if the entire world understood what was coming, we could save potentially multiple billions of people. Like we could save 2 or 3 billion people when this happens. There are some parts of the Earth that are going to be absolutely devastated. During the 1 to 12,000 years ago, North America was wiped clean, along with much of Central and South America. 3 cycles ago, Asia was devastated, absolutely devastated. I mean, literally, there were just pockets of survivors. But there are parts of the world that are able to really survive this if they can just understand what's coming and prepare for it and keep the right mindset as they go into it. And so obviously I'm doing my best to try to tell everybody about this, but the vast majority of people who could help me do that don't want to do that. They can't afford to do that. They're still paying off their mortgage. They're still paying off their wedding. They're still paying off their student loans. They've got young kids. They've got careers to think about, and they don't want to lose their jobs. They've really set this thing up to remain a secret, which is the exact opposite of what we need to get into the future in the right way. And so, what do we actually practically do about this? Good question. Good question. I've tried convincing some of these, because some of the people that I interact with regularly, if they came out and said the things that I was saying, things that they've told me privately, they understand and believe wholeheartedly, the world would wake up like that. Some of them are worried that the truth would cause people to go nuts and literally destroy everything we would want to save, including ourselves. And I can't say that that's wholly wrong, especially when we've found out in the last 4 years the world is a lot dumber than I thought it was. I had no idea how dumb this planet was. 2020 and 2021 taught me a lot about. And so who knows how it would actually go down. It's the same kind of argument with aliens, right? I mean, who knows how we would really react? I do know this. It's very telling when my government comes out and basically says, we have otherworldly craft flying around and we have it caught on camera by the Navy and the Air Force. Nobody cares. And it's probably not that nobody believes them. It's just that this world has gotten so insane. People are like, cool, man, but I got a lot going on. I don't know what you want me to do about this.
That's an area
We're in a pickle.
of interest of my own, like the UFO subject. I've spoken to, a lot of these guys, some of the pilots and military guys who have had experiences. And I mean, I'm not against the idea that they do have some pretty significant black budget classified technology that you would believe was an extraterrestrial vehicle, because I mean, you look at the rate of progression in specifically propulsion and energy generation, juxtapose that with things like quantum computation and superconductors and virtual reality and AI, it's trailing behind at a snail's pace. Now, like, obviously there's a gradient curve in like innovation with things like propulsion and energy, but I'm sorry, the fact that we're still flying around on essentially Wright Brothers technology and using chemical combustion to go up into space doesn't make much sense to me. So I kind of think that, the use of field propulsion, electrogravitics, using novel types of energy generation has probably been achieved. So maybe some
I
people do
agree.
have an exodus plan, like they have their own situation, they'll zip off to somewhere else, but it certainly isn't going to be us, brother.
I agree. And here's the other thing. They can say whatever they want to the people, but when they're telling the people about this, or they're showing Navy footage of a something going super fast and basically ignoring inertia. They're flex like I do think that a lot of those are actual military technology and they are flexing to other governments like, hey, look, we're gonna tell people that these are UFOs. China, I know you know that that's not a UFO. Hack us if you want to. Wait till you see what happens next. There's so many good questions right now. So many good questions. And yes, it's very possible that there is a small group that will be trying to leave this planet. I do know this. They have to leave the whole solar system because when this thing goes down, it's going to be bad everywhere. All the planets are experiencing this right now. We didn't even get into this, and we don't necessarily need to, but this is not just something that's happening to the Earth. We are in a solar system shift. The entire solar system is changing in the exact same way. Now, that's not to say they couldn't just go out in their craft. And if they've got a craft like that, they could probably put up some kind of energy shield to block major solar blasts or other things like that. I mean, if we're talking about those kinds of craft. But it's almost like that's. When we need a break from talking about the information about what's happening with Earth and the sun, and when we get done with seeing what we need to do from a prepping standpoint today, and when we remind ourselves of how we're supposed to be thinking and keeping a positive mindset, at the end of the day, okay, you want to crack open a beer? Here's some other very real stuff that we can chat about and hypothesize and other things like that. But at the end of the day, that stuff won't have an effect on us. They're not taking the entire human race off somewhere in some kind of protective energy bubble. And so all of this stuff is worth understanding and worth talking about for sure. I find all of it fascinating. I can't say I'm an expert on those latter things, like aliens and whatever secret technology they have. But I do find it fascinating and I love talking about it.
Hey, it is fascinating. And I mean, especially, I mean, like the UFO subject in general, there's obviously a lot of bullshit. You got to really sift through the minutiae to find the kind of gems of
Oh, yeah.
information. But when it comes to like the kind of novel propulsion studies, the real golden era is the 1950s, especially in America. There was a huge boom in like electrogravitics, and anti-gravity was going to be the next thing. There was even mainstream, scientific journals saying that this is logically going to be the next thing, propellantless propulsion drives, and then bam, just goes dark and iron curtain of secrecy falls down. So I think that they've definitely got those kind of things. I think they've definitely developed stuff that would It makes me worry about what exactly is happening with the UFO conversation with the US government, because I don't trust the government when it comes to that conversation. If they've been keeping that secret for decades, then why talk about it now? What's the impetus behind talking about it now, you know?
I agree completely. A lot of
One thing
different
that you
ways.
mentioned that you said, oh, we don't have to talk about, but it's kind of interesting. Maybe we can just finish up on this because we're coming up to the end of the hour. But the solar system's changing, you said. So can you give us a little bit of information on what that really means?
All the planets are having a similar magnetic change to what the Earth is having. And Pluto lost a fifth of its atmosphere in just 1 year. Same thing that happened to Mars over eons, allegedly, when it lost its magnetic field. There's a well-understood storm pattern on Neptune, kind of like how hurricanes form off the coast of Africa and then they shoot westward across the Atlantic towards America. Well, on Neptune, it just went the other way. It just reversed, which is not supposed to be possible unless something really drastic did a 180 on that planet. Uranus is having record aurora. And without record solar activity, what's causing record aurora at Uranus? It's losing its magnetic protection. Similar things are happening at Saturn. We don't have to infer them at Jupiter. We can actually measure it at Jupiter. We do this by measuring the radio signals that come from the electrons trapped in Jupiter's magnetic field. And the radio signals that they put out just changed in the last decade to 12 years. So either the nature of an electron changed at Jupiter, not likely, or Jupiter's magnetic field is changing too. Mars has a ton of changes. They think its mantle is now awake and alive and active, where for decades they thought it was dead and a geologically inactive planet. And right now, the Mars scientists are thinking, all right, we have to figure out how we got this wrong for all these years. All the data said they didn't get it wrong. Mars woke up as a planet. Venus's fastest winds are getting faster. The sun's magnetic fields are changing, and the chemistry of the sun's atmosphere is changing. Everything in the solar system is changing. The likely answer is that we are going through a galactic magnetic reversal, a magnetic reversal on a galactic scale. Now, that doesn't mean the galaxy itself is doing it. It means that our solar system is crossing from one magnetic field sector of the galaxy into another. They know that this exists in the Milky Way. They've spotted it in other galaxies as well. All the evidence for it is here, including everything from the extra dust that we are seeing in the solar system from the sun all the way out past Pluto. They're finding way more dust than they're supposed to be finding, way more than they found in the past. The numbers are going up. And that magnetic reversal point in the galaxy should act like an electrostatic Swiffer duster in your home and be sort of a collection point for dust. And so all of the information we have says that the reason why we're going through this cycle is because we hit the magnetic reversal point of the galaxy. It sets off the planets. It will eventually set off the sun in an even major way, in even more major way. And here for the planet Earth, it's going to be causing this magnetic pole shift. It's been causing this magnetic pole shift, which is due to culminate here in the coming years. And it's the kind of thing where there are, at this point, when you tie in galactic observations, astrophysics, and geophysics, there are no holes left in the story. And then when you realize, oh, this matches myth and religion and other things like that. And even down to psychology and meteorology, you realize, okay, this is the story. This is what our ancestors were trying to tell us about.
And like you said, from the solar and planetary transformation, are we not then called as a collective and as individuals to try and transform as a being, as a species, as a consciousness? And so there is undoubtedly a lot of negative connotations involved in what could be seen as a cataclysmic event, but are you then not invited to try and approach that with strength and with the ability to transform and with the knowledge, as you said previously, that we're still here and we've gone through this many times and we are a versatile and strong species?
It's incumbent upon everyone to attempt. to at least try. I mean, we have the privilege of being here for the cosmic version of the Super Bowl or the cosmic version of the World Cup. Don't go hide in the locker room. Put the cleats on. Get out on the field. Do something. Try. Just try. I people who are trying are surprising themselves and other people with what they're capable of when they really are inspired and determined. Sometimes that's all it takes.